Experience. Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
Slap your neighbor high five and tell him you got to get it. You got to get this. And so I had to get to this point by getting you to understand, Mika, when we become Koinonia, we start asking, how do I help? How can I participate? What do you need from me? I'm not a consumer. I don't come in here on Sunday and get my bread and then go to my house. No, when I walk in here, my question is, God, what have you given to me that I can give back to advance the kingdom of God? Preach John Eric Guns. When you come in here, you don't come in here and sit here and just bring your plate and your fork and your knife and just eat up all the bread. You come in here and say, let me go to this oven and see if I can't bake up something up in here too. What do you have that God has blessed you with? Because here's what I discovered. If you don't become an investor, you eventually lose the gift he's given you. Koinonia is deep, guys. It's about accountability. It's a high level of accountability. But Koinonia is also about an intense level of sacrifice. That when people are Koinonia, you want to know what they really do? They become sacrificial. They become engaged. They adjust for their vision. I'm oftentimes grieved to see how many people make no adjustments. Everything has to fit their day. And James, son, please don't start your ministry journey by thinking that it ain't going to cost you some Saturdays. And you may get a call at 11 for something at 12 and know you need to be there. Preach, man. You ain't ready, Claude, to lead until you ready to follow. And following means you got to adjust your life. Someone say adjust. Yes. You got to adjust. Yes. Because accountability, because ultimately Koinonia is about accountability. It is. It's about accountability. And it's about sacrifice, said. It is. And that's what made them incredible. Because the Bible says, and they would sell their property. And they would give for the good of everybody. Some of y'all ain't gonna like me today, but I ain't here to be your friend. I'm here to raise up a kingdom community that is serious about the work of Jesus Christ. Because you don't change neighborhoods and you don't fulfill the kingdom until you get intense about this thing. This thing costs. And there are so many people who don't want to pay anything anymore. Anthony, we don't want to make any adjustments. See, Sunday's easy. Sunday don't cost nothing. You used to coming. The hardest part, Blair, is when you got to say, let me alter this for this. I sure hope y'all ain't missing this today. I hope you ain't missing this. Hope you ain't missing this, because here's where God had to get me to get y'all here. Koinonia is not just how we love on each other. Koinonia is how we serve each other. It ain't just how we speak to each other. It's how we give to each other. It ain't just how we conveniently attend. It's how we unselfishly invest. It's doing it without attitude. Oh, I'm getting ready to help some of y'all, because some of y'all got real bad attitudes. Some of y'all got attitude right now. And frankly, I don't care. Because what this generation has missed is if you don't take care of what God loves, he ain't going to take care of what you love. I wish I wasn't in the Bible. So here's the revelation. Here's the big word. And you can put this one word up. Here's why they did this. Because they were convinced. Listen, hey, Tanita, here's why they did all this sacrificing. Here's why they went through all this persecution. Here's why they lost their lives. Here's why they sold their property, Sharon, and gave it to the apostles for it to be distributed. Here's why. You ready? Because they were convinced. They were convinced. And it's interesting how easy it is to be unconvinced. How easy it is not to believe in this. And here's how. Because you become so easily critical till it justifies why you don't feel it's worth all of you. It's almost as if I found a reason not to be committed. Because this ain't that, and that ain't that, and y'all don't do this, and y'all don't do that. And here's what I'm discovering. If you are easily talked out of it, you will never be encouraged to make it better. Teach, man. So you know what happens is we're not convinced. I'm convinced we're not convinced. Because when you get convinced, when this thing, when they can't talk you out of commitment, when they can't talk you out of sacrifice, when nobody can, listen, whenever somebody really loves somebody, you can't say nothing about them and it just go easy. You just can't. Right? Like Claude and Alexis is now married. Lord have mercy. And they happily married for a week. But I told them in all honesty, here's how you know when you real married. When down the road, you discover they ain't perfect. But you can't be talked out of staying. Okay, y'all ain't got it yet, but I'm coming to help you. Here's when you're convinced. When you can't listen, you ain't convinced when you're winning. You convinced when you're losing. So let me help you. All these Jaguar fans that's showing up today, where were they when they were 2-14? You ain't a fan when you're winning. That's called bandwagon. You're a fan when it is broken and it ain't working. And you say, I don't care how bad it looks, I'm still in. And if the church could ever get people whose attitude is, I ain't got to be in the perfect church, but I got to make sure I am perfectly aligned with what God is doing, God will bless you when you don't need it perfect. You just need it. You need it in place. They were convinced. You couldn't talk them out of it. Nothing you could say to make them believe that Jesus Christ wasn't Lord. Nothing you could say to make them believe that Peter was not anointed. They were convinced. So, and they were convinced. And here's the interesting thing about people who are convinced. The first thing is, people who are convinced don't need to be encouraged. They just need to be invited and instructed. People who are convinced, they don't need to be cheerleaded. They don't need to be, they just need, listen, convince people catch when they're instructed to do something. Yeah. Convince people don't need to be encouraged. They don't need to be, come on, come on now, come on, come on, Come on and do it. Come on and give. Come on now. Come on to church. Come on. Hey, come on. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. Hey, come on. Yeah, you can. Listen, that's the problem today. We got all these folk we trying to encourage. Man, we spend more time trying to chill each y'all. I mean, like the day I heard Claudia in here, come on, praise him. Come on, praise that boy sweating in that new shirt. Come on, praise him. You know how many of us sitting up here sweating behind? I done messed up good clothes trying to encourage y'all. I spend more money sending stuff to the cleaners. I should make y'all pay for my cleaning bill. Trying to encourage y'all. When what I should be able to do is stand up here and say, listen, we got Project Koinonia. This is what God is saying. I need 100 people right now to walk up here and make a commitment. Bam, I'm done. But no, I got to stand here and say, this is what we're going to do with the money, and this is how we're going to do it. And if you come to this, you're going to get this. And then we're going to give you a pen. Listen, I love the fact that we are excited about people who invite people. But the fact that we got to give y'all gas cards. No, I'm going to undermine our own projects. The fact that the church does so many perks and benefits when the perk is you are on your way to hell. Now hear the benefit. He wakes you up every day in grace and forgiveness. If that ain't enough, okay, I need some real believers in here that say, you ain't got to do nothing else for me. The fact that I should have lost everything by now, and the fact I'm still here, that's the biggest benefit that you could ever give me. Now unto him who is able to keep me. I need you to get excited about the fact that you're on your way to heaven and he loves you. So you ain't gotta encourage me, just invite me. You ain't gotta encourage me. So I ain't gonna sit in church when pastor say something and sitting to text the people. Look at him talking about us. Like I don't see you. How dare you think that every correction is about your ego? At some point, you ought to be able to say, I hear you, man of God. You ain't got to beg me. I'm all in. Because when I look at where God has brought me from, I'm all in. When I look at how he saved me from me, I'm all in. When I look at what he's done in my life, I've been doing this too long. I catch it all. I catch it all. Convince people just need to be invited. Secondly, convince people I inspired to give and serve once they become aware of the need. Here it is, Annette. We bring this out, we put it right here, and convince people go. This says need. How many people do you need? What do you need from parents? What do you need from parents right now? Come here. Stay engaged. Okay, stay engaged. What do you need from
parents? To help, financially, to help during participation, discipleship.
Give a particular thing you need from parents right now. Look at them. For every parent that has a teenager, raise your hand.
Well, first, to be here.
First, stop. Okay, say it again.
To be present.
When?
Tuesday nights, Saturdays. Tuesdays at 6:45.
Saturday when?
Saturdays at 8 to 10. 8 to 12.
What day?
Third Saturdays.
Third Saturday. Stop. Give me that money. Immediately when you hear that, every parent in this room should say, two things are going to happen. One, this young man is in place to help my children. I'm all in by the fact that God put somebody in place to help me help my children. But once a need is instructed, what happens? People who are convinced don't need to be told anything else. The fact they know the need. Wow. Koinonia is really about God just walking in his room and saying, hey, here's the need. Here's the need. Here's the need. Okay, we got that house around the corner. Some of you could easily, if you can't give a dollar, you are good with a hammer and a nail. So what's the need? Listen, everybody ain't good with hammers and nails. I ain't. You put a hammer and a nail in my hand, everybody in trouble. The nail gonna be bent. That ain't what I do. But I know what I'm good at. So, we stand up here every Sunday, we talk about the needs. Convince people, go, you just need to tell me. It's on? Yeah. Okay, here's last thing. And this is big. Convince people, trust God as the source. You wanna know what's really deep about the first church? I couldn't understand this, bro. It messed me up, dude. It messed me up. Cause I started reading this thing for real. Like for real. And I kept going, how do people who are selling their property gonna eat? Like, if you spend all that time, Tony, getting stuff, then all of a sudden you become a part of the church, and you know, this generation ain't gonna do that. But you know, God may touch someone to do it one day. But what was crazy though, was Cheryl, how they gonna eat? If you take all you got and liquidate it and bring it, how you gonna eat? And here's what the Lord said to me. Ready, boys? He said, the moment you empty, I refill. You ready? Huge. I'm closing. Huge. Huge. The moment you empty, I refill. Watch this. Everybody turn to Psalm 23. Y'all ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass. He leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength, guides me in the right paths as he's promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I ain't going to be afraid. Lord, you're with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff. You prepare a banquet for me where my enemies can see it. You welcome me as an honored guest. Y'all ready? Here's the revelation. And you fill my cup to the brim. Okay. All right. Y'all ready? Major revelation. At least it is for me. You ready? Major revelation. At least it is for me. You fill my cup to the brim. If I'm at a banquet, Kelly, what am I going to do with the cup? I'm going to drink it. Okay. God, my church is so much smarter than me. Okay, watch this. Okay, anybody ever gone to dinner and the waiter brought or the waitress brought some water and poured it in an empty glass and they poured it to the top and you took the cup and you did what? There you go. And you drunk it probably, watch this, Kimmy, you drunk it probably far enough down and before you could get empty. Woo, I'm gonna shout by myself. Some of y'all don't know when to shout. Get over yourself. God getting ready to come bless you. Boy, he getting ready to come bless you. Because every time you think you to the end of what you got, he'll pull. Okay, I need some real folk in here who say, every time I got to the end of my cup, he just showed up and he poured it again. And it dawned on me, the people who gave like that, they gave up property and God opened another door. Because he's never going to lie. I used to be young, but now that I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed. Is there anybody here who knows you serve not just a provider? You serve a waiter that is always making sure there's something in your glass. Have you served a God that's always making sure that you are not going to go under? And so I need some real saints in here who can look at your neighbor and say, every time my glass gets empty, he pours something else. Every time it feels like I'm not going to make it, he pours something else. And so you can sit there and be scared, but I'm a worshiper and I'm grateful that every time. I'll close with this. Get on the keys. This week was the strangest week I've had in a long time. I went to the global meeting, had executive council meeting, went to Nassau. I had to leave because I was on my way to New Orleans. And with some of the demands that God has placed on our family in this season, you know, God is sustaining us. One of the ways he does that is through the opportunities to minister. So I go to the plane to go to New Orleans from Nassau, right? So I'm sitting there. And the pilot comes on, and whenever he says this, I get nervous. He said, I have good news and bad news. I said, oh, shucks. I mean, I said shucks this time. So he said, I got good news and bad news. I said, oh, Lord. He said, the good news is we're ready to go. The bad news is customs has put us on a hold. I said, okay. Right? I said, okay, no problem. So, about 10 minutes later, Dan, you would appreciate this because you were in this line of work for years. Some guys comes on from customs and they take this guy off the plane in handcuffs. Okay? Forgive me for what I'm getting ready to say. It was a white man. I was kind of glad. Glad it wasn't a brother. If I had a mixed congregation, I wouldn't have said that. But since it's all us, you may have white in your family, but you black. Right? So they take them off the plane. I said, all right, no problem. About 40 minutes later, Claude texted me, like, hey, what you doing? Da, da, da. I said, hey, man, on the plane. That's okay. You know, so I'm getting a little nervous because my connection is 425 in Atlanta. right? Okay, no problem. Hour and a half flight. I figure we get out of here by 2. You know, I ain't running through no airport, but I'll limp fast. Now it's 2:30. And now they decide, and Kim, you work at the airport, so you know you understand this. Now they decide to take us all off the plane to do a sweep. So in my mind is, did nobody think about this earlier? Well, the Bohemian government and our government couldn't work together to figure out what their processes were for handling this situation. Then they find another guy in the airport who threw some drugs down the toilet in the bathroom. So now they put the whole airport on hold. Okay, now it's 3, and I'm going, okay, now they rebooked me for 5:45. I said, okay, if we get out here by 3:30, I can run to the gate. I'm past limping, I'm in the running. It's 4:00, we only look like we're going to go. They just let us on the plane, we get on the plane, then they tell us we got to get off because we got on before the flight attendants. Because there's some law that you can't get on before the flight attendants. Well, we ain't get on the plane on our own. They told us get on. I can't help it. Flight attendant was getting a soda. It's 4:30. Needless to say, I missed both my connections to New Orleans. Okay? All right, God. I'm sitting in Atlanta. I'm frustrated because I was supposed to preach in Petersburg Friday. That got canceled because of the weather. Frustrated, you know. And I get a text from a pastor. Hey, man, what are you doing Sunday at 11? I said, I got church at 9. He said, well, will you come do my anniversary for me? I said, sure, I got a meeting, but yeah, okay. So that's in Gainesville. Then I get another text, literally 10 minutes after that, from a guy who I was supposed to preach for Wednesday, but I couldn't because my wife had a procedure. He said, man, the weather jacked us up, so man, will you come the last Wednesday in September? And immediately the Lord said to me, he said, whatever closes today gets reopened if you trust me. Okay. All right. Wake up and get this. Immediately, God began to refill the cup. But it required 2 things on my part. First thing, I had to calm down and just stop worrying about it. Whatever God got, he got. And I've been doing this for so long till I've seen God make a way out of. Listen, that ain't a cliche for me no more. That's like real. He will make a way out of. Oh my God, he will. But here's the second thing. And deacons, y'all can stand. And deaconess, y'all can stand. Here's the second thing. When you get convinced, it is because you have been so changed by the word of God. Everybody hear me? Until the word of God has shifted your whole mindset. Listen, I don't struggle with nothing when it comes to the word of God now. Even when I get corrected and convicted, I change immediately because I understand that I can't miss a season because I'm stubbornly holding on to bad behavior. So you know what happens? Here's what happens. Most churches struggle because people aren't convinced. They don't really trust that this is God's will for their life. Or even worse, when they know it's God's will, they keep looking for the.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.